raging, the billows are tossing high. The sky is o'ershadowed with blackness, no shelter or help is nigh. Carest thou not that we perish? How canst thou lie asleep when each moment so madly is threatening a graven great deep? The winds and the waves shall obey thy will. Be still. Whether the wrath of the storm-tossed sea, or demons, or men, or whatever it be, no waters can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. They sweetly obey thy will. Peace be still, peace be still. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace, peace, be still. Master, with anguish of spirit, I bow in thy grief today. The depths of my sad heart are troubled. Awaken and save, I pray. Torrents of sin and of anguish sweep o'er my sinking soul. And I perish, dear Master. Oh, hasten and take control. The winds and the waves shall obey thy will. Peace be still. Whether the wrath of the storm-tossed sea, or demons, or men, or whatever it be, no waters can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. They all shall sweetly obey. Peace be still, peace be still. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace, peace, be still. Master, the terror is over, the element sweetly rests. Our sun in the calm lake is mirrored, and heaven's within my breast. Linger, O blessed Redeemer. Leave me alone no more, and with joy I shall make the blessed harbor and rest on the blissful shore. The winds and the waves shall obey thy will. Peace be still. waters can't swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace be still, peace be still. They all shall sweetly obey. Peace, be still.
I love it when there's such a wonderful corroboration, correlation, relation of Sunday school and the songs and church. And we know that's because of the Holy Spirit. I didn't talk to Jennifer before today to ask what Sunday school was going to be about. I didn't know what song Lola was going to sing. I just knew I wasn't going to sing. Thank God for that. All right, if you would, turn to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 17. Joshua chapter 17, and let's start with verse 14. And the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, Why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people, forasmuch as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto? And Joshua answered them, If thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country, and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. And the children of Joseph said, The hill is not enough for us. And all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are of Beth Shean and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, Thou art a great people, and hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only. But the mountain shall be thine, for it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down. And the outgoings of it shall be thine. For thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong. I was reading over this some time ago, and a portion that really struck me was in verse 16. The children of Joseph said, The hill is not enough for us. The hill is not enough. And I thought, what a great title for a message. The hill is not enough. And I tell you, the Lord took me here and there and over and under and all different types of analogies. I thought of the hill as Calvary. I thought of the hill as being on the mountaintop. And I looked at the valley and, oh, we're not going to talk about the valley. And then kept going back to the valley, thinking about the valley. And I realized, you know, there's usually a valley before you go up a hill. And we heard a little bit about this in Sunday school, and I liked what Jennifer said about making God's promises personal. He wants them to be personal. So we're going to look at this phrase, the hill is not enough. Okay? Put a question mark behind that. The hill is not enough? Or take out not. The hill is enough. And maybe by the time we get to the end of this, you won't be as confused as I was when I started. And you'll understand a little more about our inheritance and what God has for us as we believe Him for it. A hill or a mountain is a high place. This is their inheritance. This is what God has said belongs to them. It's yours. But they said, That's not enough for us. We're a great people. There was a lot of them. That's true. Maybe they felt like they wanted more. Maybe they felt like they deserved more. Then in the end of verse 16, we see a little something that gives us a hint of possibly another reason that they said, the hill is not enough for us. All the Canaanites that dwell in the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are of Beth Shean and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. Okay, fine. Maybe it's not because the hill is not enough. Maybe it's because the valley's too much. Maybe they don't want to go through the valley to get to the hill because the hill is not that attractive to them. They don't want to occupy the hill. There's Canaanites in the valley. They're strong. And they have iron chariots. They're powerful. They have more weapons than we do. Well, we're told in Scripture, no weapon formed against us will prosper. But these people were looking at what they could see right in front of them. They could see the valley. That's no problem. They saw what was in the valley. That hill's way over yonder. I can't quite make out what's on the hill. The enemy looked formidable, and it seemed impossible to overcome them. Looking on these conditions caused fear. Unbelief causes fear. They had been told, this is yours, go get it. But they made a choice not to at this time. You know, that hill might be just as good as you say it is, but I can't tell that from here. That hill might be just as fertile and just as beautiful as you tell me it is. But that hill way over yonder, on the other side of this valley where all these obstacles are, it's not enough to draw me over there. It's not enough to get me to go through the valley that lies before me. And you know, saints, I was thinking about people today. So many Christians have this attitude. They will not occupy the high place. They will not occupy the hill because they've made a choice not to go through a valley. They've made a choice that it's not worth it to me. You know, I can see what's in the valley. I can't see what's on the hill. I can see the obstacles. I see the medical results. I see the person that needs a home. I see the person that needs a transplant. I see what this terrible pandemic has done to people. But I can't see past that. Scripture says we're to walk by faith, not by sight. We're to believe what God has told us, and He says the hill is ours. You know, I believe you. Again, I believe that hill's way over there, but I can't really make out what is on it. What's on the hill? As I was writing this down, I thought, well, Dave, now wait a minute. Have we been given a hill? Have we been promised a hill? Well, a hill is a high place, again. It's figuratively often used to show a promotion. We're told in Ephesians, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. That's our high place. That's our hill. That's the lot that God has promised us, saints, is a place in the heavenlies in Christ. Now, we know when we pass from this life, we'll be there. But we're exhorted to take our place now. We're exhorted to believe God that that is my place now. We're exhorted to spiritually occupy it, claim it as mine now. Okay. All Christians, everyone who's born again, everyone who's accepted Christ, is offered this lot, is offered this inheritance, is offered this place. But not every Christian will take it by faith. I want to do that. I hope I am doing that. Accepting that, God, you said it. It's mine. I believe it. Get me there. Okay, David. start walking through the valley. So we realize that if we want to reach this place, if we want to attain into this place that God has told us is ours, there's going to be a journey. There's going to be circumstances come against us in this valley. So many who look at this and realize, you know, I understand that's all available. I know that's in God's word. But as soon as they realize there's going to be battles and tribulations and trials, whoa, it's not enough for me. Just like these people said, the hill is not enough. I don't want to have that attitude. I want to have a sincere attitude that what God offers me is enough, more than enough to go through anything that he allows in my life on this race course, on this journey. Some might say, you know, I might as well not even get started. I'm not going to make it anyway. I can't believe God saved me. I was so bad. My grandson tells me I'm bad all the time. But he's only 6. What does he know? He knows a lot. But we can't put ourselves beyond the outstretched arm of the grace of God. We can't have the attitude that I am so far out there, he can't get me to the place where I belong. We have to believe, or we should believe, that his grace is more than sufficient to do that for each and every one of us. Some might say, did God really say that's mine? Did he really say that I have a place in the heavenlies, that I've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ? Yes, he did. It's in his word. Well, I don't believe that's what it means. Well, go before the Lord, seek him, and he'll reveal it to you. Now, just because I said it, that's what his word says. Well, okay, I can't see it. Well, again, we walk by faith, not by sight. And it's getting to be more and more like that as time goes on, saints. As we get closer to the coming of the Lord, we're going to be walking by faith more and more. And God loves that. He loves it when we walk by faith, when we can see things around us, the chaos, the confusion, the ungodliness, and we can still believe him and lift up our arms and thank him that I'm where I am today. Praise the Lord. So these have no desire to occupy this place because of the difficulty that's facing them. And then there are some that say, okay, I believe it's there. I believe it's for me. But not right now. I'll get there eventually. Saints, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to believe God for what he has for you. Now is the time to take it by faith and begin to understand what he has for us. So they don't claim it now. And I wonder, so many today want more now. And of course, we've heard for years, it's a day of instant gratification. You know, you can accidentally buy something online. One little click, it's on its way. But people want it now. They don't want to wait. Well, you know, God is working patience in each of his saints. He wants to work patience into each one of us. And what works patience? We've heard it over and over. Tribulation worketh patience. And there's tribulation in the valley. And so many people don't want patience. They don't want to wait. The valley's also a low place. Have anyone else noticed there's not a whole lot of humility in the world today? I used to work with a fella, and he was a country boy, country man. And when we would have the hot weather in July and August, David, he'd say, "There's a lot of humility out there." And I'd say, "John, don't you mean humidity?" "No, humility." "There's not much humility in this world anymore." "That's for you, Bruce, or you, Frankie, to be humble, not me." So many refuse this way to believe what God has because they will not submit. They will not subject themselves. They will not go through this place of weakness and humiliation in the valley in order to attain what God has for them. God has to change us even more than he already has. And one of the ways he does that is through humility and submission to him. Just saying, "Lord, I don't know why you're doing this, but if you say it's necessary, do it." He loves it when we submit to him. Oh, the glory that he's going to reveal in us, saints. It far outshines any humility or shame that we could experience in this world. Praise the Lord. So, why go through the valley? Wouldn't it be nice just to skip it? That's what a lot of people can do now. You know, you can skip the ads on online. I finally got a smartphone. And I think I've got four apps. And one of them, solitaire. Whoopee. Every time I start a new game, an ad comes on. And I wait until that little X comes up and it's gone. People would love to do that with the valley. Here comes the valley again. Oh, I'm just going to skip it. Can't skip the valley. Praise the Lord. Well, what good is there in the valley? Is there anything good? Is there anything that I can benefit from now in the valley? Well, let's look at verse 16 a little bit more. Let's get past where the Canaanites dwell in the valley, have chariots of iron, to both they who are of Beth Shean. I love to look up the meanings of words. Beth Shean means house of ease. And so many times when we hear that ease, we think of laziness, leaning back, crossing the legs. I would say out on your front porch, but at this time of year, it's not that comfortable outside, even in the shade in Missouri. In the air conditioning, you sit back, you relax. But I looked up the root words. One of them means house, and I love the other root word of this town. It means peaceful and at rest. Are you telling me there's peace in the valley? Are you saying there's peace in the valley for me? Sounds like a good title for an old song, doesn't it? Praise the Lord. You know, this is the peace of God. All Christians, everyone who's born again, has peace with God. They're no longer his enemy. He's no longer condemning them. They have peace with God. But those who decide to pass through the valley will experience the peace of God. You can only experience the peace of God in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of tribulation, in the midst of a battle. Only God can bring you peace in those situations. It makes no sense, like Forrest Gump would say. That don't make no sense. It doesn't make any sense to have peace in the valley, in the midst of all this turmoil, in the presence of the enemy. Well, we read in the Psalms, "God's prepared me a table in the presence of my enemy." Do I have enough peace to dine there? Do I have the confidence in the Lord to go through the valley and all this junk, all this turmoil, and believe that he will give me peace? I thought about Peter. One of my favorite stories is when he walked on the water. He got out of the boat, and of course we've heard it many times. He's the only one that got out of the boat, saints. Whatever his motive was, he got out of that boat. I think he just wanted to be with Jesus, regardless of where he was. So he got out of the boat, and of course he got distracted. And I love it because Jesus, when Peter started to sink, Jesus didn't look down and say, oh, you were doing so good there for a while. You were just focused on me. You weren't paying attention to anything around you. But buddy, you just made a bad mistake. Jesus reached down and pulled him up. And they walked back to the boat together in the midst of this terrible storm. Peter experienced peace, the peace of God in the valley. I've heard Gene say, can you imagine God being concerned about anything or worried about anything? That's the kind of peace he can give us. And even if we get it just in a measure, it just sends us into a spiritual jubilation because, whoa, that had to be God. How can I be so content when there's people around us suffering, when so-and-so has a need? We mentioned them earlier, the prayer request. How can I have peace? It's because God is with us. He's given us that peace, and he is dwelling with us in the valley. Praise the Lord. It's because of his presence. We have no fear in the valley. Praise the Lord. In John 16, Jesus, John 16:33, Jesus says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Saints, we have peace in the valley because we are in Christ, and we have peace in Christ. And it says right here, in me you have peace. Though in the world it's tribulation, one on top of the other. But we have peace in Christ, even in the valley, regardless of the circumstances that are around us. And then the other place that's mentioned in Joshua 17:16 is Jezreel, the valley of Jezreel. And I had looked this up before, but Jezreel means God will sow. And I thought of I didn't look it up, but there's a scripture in the Bible that talks about breaking up fallow ground. And as far as I'm not a farmer, I'm not a singer, I'm not a farmer. And after today, I may not be a preacher. Who knows? But fallow ground is evidently ground that has not been used for a while. It's untilled, it's unused, and it's just as it sits, you wouldn't plant a crop there. So that ground has to be broken up. It has to be plowed. It has to be tilled. In the valley, God will break us up, for saints. He will break up that fallow ground. He will break up things that you thought were solid as a rock. Maybe even some of your theological ideas. He will break whatever up, whatever he needs to. But the marvelous thing is, he doesn't walk off and leave you. He plants new seed. He plants new seed in the valley. And we receive revelations of truth that we've never had before. Maybe it's a revelation of something we've known since we were 7 years old, but he gives it to us in a deeper way than we've ever known before. And that happens in the valley. So we receive instruction in the valley. Preparation in the valley. So I want to believe God for the place that he says is mine. That heavenly place. Those spiritual blessings. And a few weeks ago, Gene gave a message about the kindness of God, I believe was the name of it. And he listed some spiritual blessings. And the wonderful thing is, yes, these spiritual blessings, we're blessed with them in the heavenlies in Christ, but if we take our place by faith in the heavenlies now, we can begin to experience these blessings now. And again, that doesn't make sense, but God does it. One of the spiritual blessings God offers us, of course, is grace. Oh, well, I was saved by grace. I've experienced the grace of God. But have you experienced grace upon grace, upon grace, upon grace? Do you know the grace of God is manifold? It has many layers, many folds, and each one that he peels back to show another one adds to the other one and shows you something new. The grace of God is manifold because God wants it to infiltrate every part of our being and every part of our life. And we learn that in the valley. We learn that, you know, I did not believe the grace of God could get me through this, but it does. Praise the Lord. Another spiritual blessing is peace, and we've already talked about that. Peace in the valley amidst the turmoil. We might be able to learn it a little bit in the good times, but you really learn about the peace of God in the bad times when he's there for you and no one else is. Another spiritual blessing is we learn in a deeper measure that we've been chosen by God. That's humbling. We are chosen by God. We are a peculiar people. I've known that for years. But we are peculiar. We are special. He has chosen us out from among the rest of the body. Now, he intended for the whole body to be the bride of Christ, but there's only a few that accept the invitation. There's only a few that are accepting the proposal and are willing to suffer with him that they might reign with him. Praise the Lord. So we learn we are chosen by God. Another spiritual blessing is we are a son of God. Wow. A son of God. The actual begotten Son of God is bringing many sons unto glory. And my desire is to be one of those sons. And he reveals that to us in a deeper measure as we go on toward what he has for us. We learn we are accepted in the Beloved. That's Christ. We're in Christ. We're accepted in him. We're not accepted any other way as far as God's concerned. We're accepted in the Beloved. And we can know his will. Boy, that's a mystery, the will of God. But his will is in his word. And we can know what he wants if we study his word. And we are his workmanship. That's hard to believe sometimes. I was going to say that's hard to believe when you look at some people, that they're his workmanship. But every time I look in the mirror, I think, oh, Lord, it must be on the inside. We are his workmanship, created unto good works in Christ Jesus. And he shows us that more and more as we go through these situations in the valley. And another spiritual blessing, saints, we are the habitation of God. He has put this priceless treasure in this earthen vessel so that the glory will be of him and not of me. Isn't that mind-boggling? Isn't that wonderful? Or as so many would say, isn't that amazing? Isn't that fabulous? That's God. He has put the life of Christ in an earthen vessel. And that is eternal. Praise the Lord. So my desire is to lay a hold of this place by faith, this place that God has provided, he's promised, the place where he wants me to be. So we read in verse 18 in Joshua 17, thou shalt drive out the Canaanites. That's victory. God is telling us he's provided enough for the victory for each one of us. Victory in the valley. So let's desire not to be one of those who say the hill is not enough. Praise the Lord. There is so much offered to us. Let's understand that really it is enough. Those marvelous spiritual blessings that he offers us. But then, as I thought about this last night, it's not really just the hill. It's not just really some place. It's someone who draws us. The spiritual blessings are wonderful. Those things are wonderful, and God's provided them for us. But we have been called to run for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, which is Christ Jesus himself. So it's not really some thing or some place that he offers us. It's someone. Oh, well, I accepted Christ when I was a child. Well, when did you realize there was more, David? When did you realize that there was more to having Jesus as than just as a Savior? He wants to be our bridegroom. Praise the Lord. The prize of the high calling, Christ himself. You know, when we think about Jesus and we think about this idea of the valley, Jesus endured the deepest valley ever. Death. We read in Philippians, he took 7 steps down. Only he could do that because he was equal with God. And that's something else. It just don't make no sense. He was equal with God and he stepped all the way down to my level, if not lower. But you know what? He brought us back up with him. Praise the Lord. So only he could do that. Only Jesus could face death, that deepest valley, and conquer it. And now he is seated at the right hand of his Father, interceding for us. Praise the Lord. We see in Joshua 17:18 the outgoings of it shall be thine. And the outgoings, another way to phrase that is the farthest extent of it shall be thine. So again, as I was looking at this last night, I could tell I was smiling. No one was around to see it. And of course, now you can see people's smiles more than you used to. But I've always been told that people don't have to see my mouth to know I'm smiling. They say my eyes smile. They also say my eyes can look right through them sometimes. But I smiled to myself when I thought the furthest extent of the hill. Oh, okay. So our aspiration, our goal shouldn't be just to get to the hill. It shouldn't just be to get up the hill. Our goal should be to get to the top of the hill. That's where the king is. That's where Jesus is, at the top of the hill. And the upward calling is to the highest place with him. Praise the Lord. So again, this highest calling isn't so much as to a place as it is to a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So I guess you could say, I believe the hill is enough because Jesus is there. That's why it's enough, and it's more than worth it to go through the valley to attain that place next to him. We read in Romans that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. We also read in Philippians, I press. And I'm going to close with this. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. So he is enough. Hallelujah.